Pastor Varun and Pastor Dalla Hopperset would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
Sometimes I climb so far, only to backslide. Lord, I may be sliding back, but I will not abandon you.
I would like to talk about worship again, continue to talk about worship. Last time we gave some introduction. What is worship? Worship is to make God happy and smiling. Is that right? Do you remember last Sunday? The whole message is talking about to make God happy, to make God smile. I will continue to talk about worship today. I'd like to read from John chapter 4, 23 to 24. But the hour is come, and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Father, help me by your Holy Spirit to preach this word, to preach the truth of God regarding worship. Father, by your Holy Spirit, open our eyes, make our heart receptive. Change us by your word, Lord. Transform our mind and keep people awake and alert and be attentive to your word. Lord, we believe that your word will bless us, will change us to become more and more like Christ. And we will become a pure and beautiful bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Worship is something that you will need to do for eternity. When you go to heaven, one of the things you're going to do is to worship God all the time. That's why we need to rehearse the worship now. We need to learn how to praise God and worship God now. This scripture tells us about the principle of worship. One of the things we learn from this scripture is that we worship God in spirit and in truth. What does it mean in spirit? Our body has three parts. When you look at a person, the one person has three parts mingled together. The body, the mind, or the soul. A decision, emotion, and memory, thinking process. And that part is controlled by your brain and, you know, the thing that God made in your life. And another part that is real you is your spirit. One day your physical body will be gone, will become the dust of the earth. Your soul will go along with your spirit to go to heaven. So when I call Liam, I did not call that body. I call your spirit. Is that right? When I call Liam, I am calling your spirit, named Liam, inside you. So when God say worship him in spirit, it means that we worship him from in the spirit here. We worship from the inner being, from the inside, from our heart. It's not about rituals. It's not about traditions. It's not about programs. It's not about location of worship. It's not about what kind of song you sing. It's not about what chair you sit in the church. But God say, I am spirit. You must worship me from the inside here. From your spirit. So I pray that when you come to worship God, you don't come and sing song from your mouth, but your spirit and your mind are with something else. With the TV program last night, with the football game yesterday or something like that. Your focus, your heart just sinking and worshiping God from your heart. God is spirit, and we need to worship Him from the spirit. This is something that I like to really keep emphasizing and teaching you in this church. I notice one thing about human being is that we tend to focus on the physical things. Is that right? How beautiful a person is, how expensive or how nice a cloth you wear, how nice the carpet, how beautiful the building, how handsome the pastor is, how what kind of voice and what kind of accent or suit to ear. We tend to focus on the physical things, and that is human being. But we are not just physical people. We are spiritual people. As a Christian, we need to shift the direction, shift the focus a little bit. Instead of focusing on the physical things, we should focus on spiritual things. The things in the realm of the spirit. Amen. So when I come here, I don't look at people, how they dress. I don't look at your nationalities. I don't look at your accent. I don't look at your background. I look at your spiritual life, your spirit. And God is the same way. God look at our spirit. Amen. In God's sight, there is no discrimination. There is no rich and poor financially. God look just at our spirit. And God care about how our spiritual life is. So the same thing, when you worship God, when you want to give glory to God, when you want to praise God, you need to focus on the spiritual thing, not on the physical things. Start from here. Do you love God? Do you have faith in God? You trust God in your spirit here? Don't just emphasize only about beautiful song, how you dress on Sunday, what kind of clothes you wear. All these things are just temporal. They're just minor things in the eyes of God. God wants to focus on your spirit. How you come to Him with your spirit. Amen? How many people want to become spiritual people, not carnal people? Carnal means flesh, means meat in the Greek language, means meaty people. Just focus on the meat thing, on the fleshly thing. Oh, I come here and I see a lot of international people here. Oh, I feel uncomfortable. No, it's not about nationality here. It's about spiritual people. People love God. Don't just look at the outside. Look at the heart here. Amen. So we need to focus on the spiritual thing when we want to worship the Lord. The Lord one time warned His people in the Bible. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 29, verse 13. Look at what God say here. Therefore, before I read this scripture, you need to understand many times when the Bible used the word heart and spirit, they're the same thing. Heart. Believe in your heart means believe in your spirit. So look at what God say here. Therefore, the Lord said, inasmuch as these people draw near with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but have removed their hearts far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the commandment of men. So God say, a lot of people come and just go through the motion of rituals and traditions. Sing a few songs, do a few things, offering back, pass by, drop the money in, and listen to sermon for 15 minutes, and then go home, and nothing to do with the spiritual life, nothing to do with the heart condition. They just come to fulfill their religious, ritualistic ceremony. And that's not what God is looking for. God is looking for people who come with a heart. Say, I love you, I am hungry for you. I want to honor you from my heart. Amen. Not just the lips, not just sing beautiful song. I encourage worship team in our church all the time that you don't come up and just sing nice song. It's not about singing nice song. It's about worship God from your heart. Amen. Amen. It's about the heart here. Otherwise, God going to say like that to this church that, oh, you sing with your mouth, but your hearts are far away from me. I don't want God to say like that to this church or to our congregation here. We need to really come to God sincerely, genuinely, from the bottom of our heart here. Amen. So, not only worship with the heart, we need to worship God with the truth, in truth. What is the truth? The truth is in the Bible. That's why we need to know the Bible. If we're going to worship God, we need to worship according the way God desires. Amen. The truth is the direction of our life. We need to know the Bible. We need to understand scriptures. And then we walk each day according to the truth, then we worship Him. Actually, today, I'm going to elaborate about how to have a corporate worship the one way of worship is to come to God and sing and worship God together. But before I go into that direction, I want to emphasize again that God has His principle and He wants us to worship Him according to His truth. Amen. You remember the story of Cain and Abel. Cain actually, in a sense, work harder than Abel because he has to go out and catch animal and kill and then raise animal and give. I'm sorry, Cain. Abel is the one who brought the animal to God, and Cain brought the fruit. I'm sorry, I say it wrong. Okay, Abel, God wants at that time people to come to Him with animal, not with fruits, with vegetable. But Cain did not listen to God. He worshipped God in the wrong way, not God's way. He brought fruit and vegetable to God, and God did not accept his offering, his worship. You remember? So in other words, God tried to teach us, by the way, animal, the offering, sacrificial animal that Abel brought to God represent the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the gospel talking about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ that will set the captive free, set us free from sin. So God did not accept Cain's offering. The same thing, if we're going to come to God, we are not just coming to God sincerely from our heart, but we need to do the right thing. We need to know what the Bible says. Amen. We need to understand the truth of God, and you need to be truthful to yourself. God doesn't want false or fakey thing. God wants the truth. God operates by His truth. So we need to know the Bible. The Bible says in John chapter 17, verse 17, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. So in other words, in order to worship God, we need to walk in God's truth all day long. We need to walk in His way all days long. Amen. You understand what I'm talking about? I give you one example. A few days ago, somebody did something, and I was a little bit disturbed. Nothing wrong, not much, just disturbed because of my style. That person did something that opposite to my style, and I was disturbing. And I'm going to open my mouth and start to criticize that person with my wife. I mean, to tell her, that bothered me. Suddenly, the Holy Spirit told me, you're not worshiping me if you criticize that person. You are not walking in love. Shut your mouth. Don't criticize. You see? So in other words, I need to walk in the truth. Because the truth says I should not criticize and gossip about people. So I shut my mouth and I didn't say anything. I just say, I appreciate this person do this way. It's okay. It may not be my style, but I will continue to love that person. I need to walk in the truth of God all day long. You understand what I'm talking here? You need to know the Bible, and you need to know what God wants us to do. A lot of people, I know one thing that many, I have been in the, because I came from Buddhist background, I did not grow up in the church at all. I never grew up in the church. I never been in a Sunday school in my life. When I turned to Jesus Christ, I was already 23, 24 years old in a medical school. So when I came to America, I learned something about Christianity in this nation. Is that a lot of Christians are turned off from charismatic churches, from the church that move in the Holy Spirit. And I wonder why, because we need the Holy Spirit, why we turn off, why people walk away from those churches. And I find out one thing is that a lot of charismatic people, and we are charismatic, by the way, a lot of charismatic people on Sunday, hallelujah, ha, oh, I like this, you know, show that, oh, I really on fire for God, move in the Holy Spirit. But Monday to Friday, they yell at their wife, they cheat, amen, they're selfish, they go to work late, they steal time from the work. And a lot of people who are non-charismatic Christian look at them and say, I don't want this kind of stuff. So worship is not just Sunday. Amen. You need to walk in the truth every day. Amen. You remember the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 1 Samuel chapter 15, the Bible says, has the Lord, is not in the computer, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. And to heed. Heed what? The truth. And do the truth. Pay attention to the truth. Than the fat of rams. Therefore, I promise God that I'm going to show to people in this society, in the hospital, in my office, that Holy Ghost Christian, tongue talker like me, speaking in tongue, are holy people. Amen. We are not cheating. We are not doing weird stuff. We are normal human beings like you and me, like you. But we're going to live a holy life, and we're going to prove to them that the Holy Ghost is good. Amen. Amen. We need to change the mentality of this society about charismatic Christians. We are not hungry for money. We are not here to get money from people. We're here to love people. Amen. So we need to walk in the truth. So worship Him in spirit, in genuine heart, and in the truth of God. We need to know the truth. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5 say, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices. Everyone say sacrifices. The Bible says we are like a living stone, like a priest, offering spiritual sacrifice. You notice that it didn't say mental. It did not say, the Bible does not say physical offering sacrifice, but spiritual from your heart. Sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. True worship is about sacrifice. You want to yell at your wife. You want to curse her. And you say, no, I need to die to my flesh. And I will not do that. It's a sacrifice. It's killing your flesh. Obeying the truth. Deny yourself. Walking by allowing the Holy Spirit to lead your spirit. And let your spirit have dominion and take over the work and the desire of the flesh. Amen. That is true worship. It's a sacrifice. Amen. Amen. How many times, how many people have this experience that when you want to obey God from your spirit, your flesh want to do one thing, but your spirit say no, you want to do, your spirit say do another thing according to the truth, and sometimes you feel pain. You feel pain. I remember one time somebody offended me so badly, and I was sitting in my office talking to my patient. And In my heart, I say, oh, they don't know that I am third degree black belt in Taekwondo. I want just to sidekick and just to go in and just break their neck, that person's neck, or something like that. But I have to kill my flesh and say, no, I'm going to love that person, forgive, and I will do good to that person. You know, when I was sitting in my office, was talking to my patient, my body was hurting. Is hurt, like, because I have to deny myself and do the right thing. That is spiritual sacrifices. You give up your own fleshly desire to do the right thing for God. That is the real meaning of worship. You please God. You see, spiritual offerings acceptable to God, not acceptable to yourself, not acceptable to the pastor, not acceptable to man's idea and opinion, but acceptable to God.
Amen.
Amen. And it can be done only by the help of the Holy Spirit. I tell you, we are weak people. We are human beings. We are normally controlled by our flesh and our sinful desire. That's why we need to be Holy Ghost people. Because the only person in the world that can help you to push the flesh down, die to your flesh, you decrease, but he increase, is the Holy Spirit. Amen. We need to be Holy Ghost people. Amen. So every single day, when you walk in your life, when you do anything from Monday through Sunday, everything you do should be for the glory of God. Look at what King David said in Psalm chapter 105, verse 4. 105, verse 4. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. Everyone say evermore. Another version say like this. Worship him continually. 24/7. Continually. The Bible says in the book of Psalm, chapter 113, verse 3, from the rising of the sun and to its going down, the Lord's name is to be praised. So we praise God and worship God 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. All the time. Worshiping God is one of the purpose of your life. You need to live your life for the glory of God. And it's not just Sunday. It's not just about Christmas service. Or the Easter service twice a year. Some people come worship God twice a year. Christmas and Easter. No. Worship is your life. It's not just a part of your life. Is your whole life. Continually. This morning when I went to Overlake Hospital to make round, to see two patients, to send one patient home, I walked into the hospital, I was worshiping God, not singing, but worshiping God with my life. When I talked to the patient, I was worshiping God, smiling, encouraging them, show love to them. It's 24/7. It's your whole life, worshiping God. Amen. Yeah. If you read in the Bible, you can see that Christian in the Bible worship God at work, at home, in battle. Amen. I'm going to preach about that, Jehoshaphat. After I finish this one, I'm going to go into Jehoshaphat. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, about worship in the battle. In jail, you remember Paul and Silas? They worship God in jail. Even in the bed. You worship God all the time. It's about life. It's not just only a little bit. When you open your eyes at 7 a.m. in the morning, worship start. Amen. And worship continue until you close your eyes and you fall asleep.
Amen.
Let me repeat one more time. Worship doesn't start at 9 a.m. on Sunday. Worship start when you open your eyes on every single morning. Boom! Worship. And go on and on and on and on until you close your eyes and fall asleep. You worship God all day.
Amen.
Amen. In Psalm chapter 34, verse 1, I will thank the Lord at all times. My mouth will always praise him. In other words, every activity can be transformed into an act of worship. Every single activity. Amen. Hallelujah. Yesterday I was called by Overlake ER, emergency room. And there was a lady who fell off there.
Amen.
Amen. In Psalm chapter 34, verse 1, I would thank the Lord at all times. My mouth will always praise him. In other words, every activity can be transformed into an act of worship. Every single activity. Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Yesterday I was called by Overlake ER, emergency room. And There was a lady who fell off the overpass on 8th, Northeast 8th, fell onto the freeway and hit by a car. I think she jumped off. And when they called me, I was in North Seattle. I was driving back to Overlake quickly because I know that this is seriously emergency. I may need to perform an emergency brain operation. So on the way, I worship God. I call up the Overlake ER and say, Dr. So-and-so, I'm really sorry if I'm late a little bit because the traffic on I-5 is so bad right now. I may be late. Could you please forgive me? I worship God when I say that, to show humility and to show that I'm really concerned about what is going on there. I do my best to be there. I didn't ignore. I didn't say, you know, I don't care what happened. I do my best. So, you know, everything you do, you worship 24 hours a day. When you go to work on time, when you work hard at the office, when you help your wife to carry a grocery bag, when you help your wife to open the door of the car, when you buy an earring for Christmas gift. That's a good one, huh? When you call somebody and encourage that person, amen. When you say sorry to some person that you offend, you say, I'm sorry. I should not do this to you. I'm sorry. Could you please forgive me? Or when you go and greet the children in the church and say, hi, how are you? I loved you. Thank you for coming. When somebody offend you and you say, I'm going to bless you back anyway. I'm going to bless you even though you offend me. Whatever you do it for the glory of God. That is called worship. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Therefore, whether you eat or drink, or whether you do, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Amen. If you are a dairy maid, you can milk a cow and worship God at the same time. When I performed surgery, I cut open the brain. I was worshiping God. Amen. It's not just about singing on Sunday. Amen. Anything you do, do it for the glory of God. How you do that? Colossians 3:23. This is important. Colossians 3:23. Whatever you do, do it heartily, mean from your spirit, from your heart, as to the Lord and not to men. So, in other words, whatever you do as if you do to the Lord Jesus Christ himself, and you are talking to Jesus all the time to give glory to him. Amen? Actually, a few days ago, I really have a humble experience. Can I share with you? I don't use this to attack me later on. I really have a humble experience. And after I listened to that comment, I really feel the grace of God that you are in this church. We were talking about accent a while ago. And on Wednesday, I was performing the operation. And I say, step one, step two, step three. And the nurse who were handing me the equipment, he said, not three, three. He corrected my accent in front of people. I have two choices. The first reaction in my heart, I think, was Jim there? You were not there at that moment. No, you left already. At that moment, I have two choices. Got mad and start to get back on him that he criticized my accent in front of people. But right away, I think, the first reaction, wow. Thank God for Mary Jo. Thank God for Neil. Thank God for Steve and Sandy. Thank God for Al and Elf. And thank God for all these American brothers and sisters that are willing to listen to my accent all these years. I really feel it. I say, oh, they must suffer a lot. Because this nurse cannot even stand one word that I say it wrong. I really appreciate right away. I mean, I feel so humble. I say to that man that, you know, I really thank God that you corrected me. And I began to ask how you say correctly. He said, three. I say, so I say, can you do this? In Thai word, there are five tone. Ma, 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 ma. Can you say like that for me? Ma, 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 ma. Ma mean dog. Ma mean cat. Ma mean horse. Ma mean come. Can you say like that? He said, I cannot. The same thing. It's very hard for me to say three. English language. Amen. But you know, I decided not to be mad at him and still thank him for the glory of God. I do that out of my spirit. I let the Holy Spirit control me, not my flesh. And I still thank God today for this man that willing to correct me. And I say, actually, it's good that somebody tell you the truth, that you make mistake. Amen. So for those who speak English very perfectly in this room, please forgive all the people from another country. Because it's not easy. English is not easy. Amen. Those who listen to this CD, forgive me too. Amen. Let's look at Romans chapter 12, verse 1 from the Message paraphrase or from another version. This is what it says in that version of the Bible. Take your everyday, ordinary life, you're sleeping, you're eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Every single day, whatever you do, do it to the Lord. Do it for the glory of God. Every single activity, every single action in your life, do it for the glory of God. 20-something years ago, when I was 16 years old, 15 years old, I fell in love. I fell in love with a lady. And her name is Da. I have fallen since then. I have fallen in love with my wife since then, to today. And I remember that because I have fallen in love, I always, her face, her name, her mind, her voice always in my dream. I dream about that a lot, actually. I don't dream a lot of spiritual dream. I dream, actually it's spiritual, in a sense. I dream about, you know, talking to Darko, this and that. You know why I always think about that? Because I have fallen in love with her. When you fall in love with somebody, you always have that person in your mind. You think, you miss that person. Worship is about falling in love with God. Amen. Every day, 24 hours a day. I like that song from Lakewood Church. But 24 hours a day, something like that. You don't remember? Okay, you know, that song that you just think about God 24 hours a day. You just fall in love with Him. How many people fall in love with Jesus? Raise your hand up. Amen. I fall in love with two persons in the world. One is Da and another one named Jesus. Yeah. I can talk about Jesus all day long. I can talk about Da all day long. Amen. So worship is about falling in love and wanting to make that person happy. Amen. Now, not only we're talking about lifestyle of worship or the worship all day long. As Christian, we set aside a time that we can really worship God in a specific way. Like on Sunday morning or when you spend devotion time, that you worship God in specific way. Now I'm going to go into that direction. Specific way of worshiping God. At that time, at that moment, either corporately or individually as a person at home, you spend time declaring, proclaiming the goodness and the power of God, the promise of God, the love of God. You proclaim with your mouth. You express it. It's not enough just You know that there are five languages of love. Five languages of love. How many people know? Five languages of love. Number one, act of service. Number two, word of encouragement. Number three, gift giving. How many people like gift giving? Raise your hand. Number four, spending valuable time. Is that right? And what is number five? Touching, physical touch. There are five ways of expressing love as a human being. So it's not enough just to, I like to bless my wife by driving her car out to put the gas in for her. Help her to carry the garbage can out, the garbage back to the garbage can and push it out so she doesn't have to do it. Amen. I do a lot of things as an act of service because I love to give service to people. But it's not enough. I need to do verbally. The same thing, a lot of Christians are like Martha, like to do a lot of act of service, but forget to spend time at the feet of Jesus and just tell him, I love you. You mean so much to me. That is a specific time that you can express the touching, the spending time, the worship, the just express your love to God with your mouth, with your action. Amen? So we're going to look at that. What God say about how to do that in a specific way that we come on Sunday or we come to care group together, worship God together. Let's look at what the Bible say here. I'm going to go through many scriptures quickly here. Are you okay? Are you hungry? Last Sunday, I preached only 30 minutes. Today, I'm going to kind of make it up to about 1.5 hours. No, I'm kidding. Psalm chapter 30, verse 4. Psalm 30, verse 4. Sing to the Lord, you saints of His, praise His holy name. Psalm 95, verse 1. Come, let us sing for joy. Psalm 47, verse 6. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises. Wow. I like it. Psalm 27, verse 6. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At His tabernacle will I sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Psalm 81, verse 1. Sing for joy to God, our strength. Shout out loud to God of Jacob. Now look at what the New Testament says. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord.
Amen.
Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. As you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God.
Amen.
So, what is the first way to worship God, to express your love to God? Singing. Amen? Singing psalms and hymns. I love that song, hymn song, How Great Thou Art. I love that song, Mary, Did You Know? It's so meaningful. I love a lot of songs. Singing to the Lord is really wonderful to be able to sing and tell God. I remember when I was young, I sang to Da all the time. Pastor Da came from Vietnamese background. So I tried to win her heart. And there is a song, Vietnamese song at that time when we were young. It's very popular in Thailand called Do Ai. I don't know anyone Vietnamese here. So I memorized the whole song in Vietnamese. I'm not Vietnamese. I cannot speak. I know only An Cơm and Chai Yo and Bun Thit Nuong and Nước Mắm. I know all of the few words. But I memorized the whole song, that song named Do Ai. And she went to the hospital and I was sitting there and I sang the whole song to her in Vietnamese. Just to make her happy. To let her know that I care about your background. That I sang Vietnamese song to you. And I couldn't remember now because it's been a long time.
Now we don't sing those songs anymore.
You see, singing song. But do you notice one thing about the Bible? Can I say this to you? Can I teach this to you? The Bible says, sing with joy.
Amen.
When you wake up in the morning, the first thing you think, thank you, Jesus. You died for me. I don't need to go to hell. I'm set free. You heal me. You die. You suffer for me. I'm set free. It's so great. I have a new life. You know, when you think about the goodness of God, you cannot help except smiling and laughing and just have joy in your heart. God said that when you come to Him and sing, sing with joy. Smile. Be happy. Is that right? Another song that I like to sing to Da at that time is help me when you were at the embassy. Yeah. Can you imagine if I come and sing to my girlfriend? Though we gonna say goodbye for the summer. Come, help me. Huh? I promise you something like that. I love to sing this song at that time because she has to be separated to be another place for many weeks. So I keep calling her and sing, though we gonna say goodbye for the summer. I seal with the kiss. Something like that. Okay. Can you imagine if I sing, like make my face like this? A lot of Christians sing to God like this. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice. Is that a falling in love? No. Falling in love is like excited. It's, oh, man. Is that right? You want to, you just smile, you're so happy. You see your girlfriend, you see your wife, you say, oh. Is that right? You don't like make your face like you just come out from some torturing machine or something like that. I remember one time I went to a church and the worship leader come up and I was a brand new. This happened in Seattle. I went to a local church and the worship leader come up and let's sing the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord. This. And I was standing there as a newcomer to America, and I was standing. Where is the joy? I don't see the joy on your face. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord. And I was, can you smile a little bit? Can you have joy a little bit? Amen. So we need to have joy when we sing. Let's have that culture in the church, that good heavenly culture. So when you actually, I come to the point like this. This morning, I this is true. I walk into the bedside of my patient, two of them. I have two patients over Lake right now. I walk in, I like this. How are you? You getting better? I smile. You know, not I'm smiling not because I'm happy to be in the hospital. I don't like to be in the hospital, but I'm smiling because the joy of God is in my heart. You know, you have. When the non-believers see your face, that you always look downcast, depressed, long face, you think they want your God? No. They don't want your God because you look so depressed. You're worse than me. No, you should be joyful. When I walk into my office to see my patient, I smile right away. How are you doing? Oh, good to see you. You know, anything I can help you? Be happy, be smiling, sing praises to God with joy. Amen. We actually, God gave prophetic word to Sister Thai a few weeks ago that this coming year, He's going to take us, our church, to another level of joy. Amen. He wants our church to be full with joy.
Amen.
Amen. Is that right? That's what God spoke to you. That we need to be a joyful church. Amen. Singing with joy. Amen. Hallelujah. Thinking about it. If you get set free from a prison, you get, you know, sentence live. You need to be in a prison for life. Die there. And one day somebody come and say, I pay $1 million. You can come out right now. Or I go in for you and you come out. And you walk out the prison. Thank you. I'm happy. I come out from prison. No. You jump up and down and say, praise God. Oh, you happy. You so full of joy. I come out from prison now. The same thing, Christian. We are set free. We don't need to be in hell. Amen. So many blessings. So many blessings that God has given to us. Why we cannot be joyful before God to show Him that. You know, I learned one thing about joy. That a few days ago, I came to the eldership meeting. And I began to pray. We pray together as elder. And when we pray, I begin to have joy inside me. But I don't want to laugh because I don't want to destroy the meeting at that time. I just have joy inside me. And God say that, do you know the Bible say in Isaiah chapter 56, my house is a house of a joyful prayer for the nations.
That's right.
Not a sad prayer.
Amen.
Joyful prayer. You know, joy signifies faith and trust and thanksgiving to God.
Amen.
When you trust God, even the storm comes, you still smile. My God is bigger than the storm.
Amen.
It's faith.
Amen.
Sadness is doubt. Depression is doubt. When you have faith, you can smile, you can laugh at the situation. Even God laughs on the throne. God, every problem in the world, how many people watch the movie called Bruce Almighty? He heard all the sound of praise. You know, he said he just punched the computer. Yes to all. When God hear all of your prayer, who now I need a job. Now oh, my wife, this and my husband, my kids run away. When God hear your prayer from below, He has compassion on you. But He was saying, piece of cake. He just clicked His finger. Thing can be done. Amen. Joy is a sign of appreciation, thankfulness, faith, and trust in the Lord.
Amen.
We need to be church that have faith in God.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Number two, Psalm 95 verse 6. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Not only singing, we can bow down. We can kneel down. How many people agree with me that inner heart's attitude affect our outward action? How many people agree? No. On the opposite way, how many people agree that outward action really affects our attitude? Let me ask this question. If I go to my medical office as a neurosurgeon, I walk into my office, sit there waiting for my patient, and they walk in and see that I'm wearing a slipper with pajamas. Do you call pajamas, right? Okay. And my hair is not combed. I just kind of like look like in my bedroom. You think they walk in, they will feel that they'll trust me to open their brain? No. So in other words, outward action affect people's attitude. And people's attitudes really affect their action. God knows that. God knows that we are a human being that is affected by all kinds of things around us, including our own action. When you come to church on Sunday morning, you may not feel like you want to worship God because just something, you could maybe get a bad phone call last night or something wrong. Maybe you kind of feel tired. You don't want to worship. But you just, okay, I'm going to take action. I'm going to sing. I'm going to kneel down. I'm going to do something.
Amen.
And believe me, after a few minutes, you begin to hook up.
Amen.
You begin to go on with worship because your action really affect your attitude inside you.
Amen.
Kneeling down, bowing down is the action of submission and yielding to the King of all kings.
Amen.
You remember the Bible say, in the last day, every tongue will confess. Every knee will bow down, will kneel down before the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, yesterday we went out to pass track with Pastor Da. I saw it. Pastor Da said, Merry Christmas. People talk back to her. Happy holiday. They sarcasm her. And I was thinking in my heart, yes, today you sarcasm us. That's okay. Happy holiday. We say, Merry Christmas. But on that day, you will kneel down when the King of all kings come back to earth.
Amen.
No one can stand and say sarcastic thing toward Jesus Christ anymore that day.
Thank them for wishing you all
Amen.
Day.
Yes.
Because it really means holy day. So.
But the attitude inside is to try to run away from the word Christmas. Run away from the word Christ. So, I don't mean that we don't love them. We love them. But we should kneel down now. We should really, it's okay to kneel down in the church. Amen. It's okay to bow down before God. Even at that time, King Solomon, he is a king. Can you imagine? This is what he did. In 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 13, now he, King Solomon, had made a bronze platform 5 cubits long, 5 cubits wide, and 3 cubits high, had placed it in the center of the outer court. He stood on the platform and then knelt down before the whole assembly of Israel, spread out his hands toward heaven. So the king knelt down before God in humility. Kneeling down is the outward action of humility. Even Jesus Christ knelt down before the Father. In Luke chapter 22, verse 41, he, meaning Jesus, withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed. The apostle did the same thing in Acts chapter 20, verse 36. When he, meaning Paul, said this, he knelt down with all of them and prayed. Kneeling down is biblical. Amen. Show respect to God. Look another one. In Psalm chapter 134, verses 1 to 2. So we sing praises. We kneel down. We bow down. Now Psalm 134, verses 1 to 2. Praise the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who stand by night in the house of the Lord. Standing. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 8. At that time, the Lord set apart the tribe of Levi to carry the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant represents the tangible presence of God, of the Lord, to stand before the Lord to minister and to pronounce blessings in His name. You know that in every culture on earth, when an important person walks into the room, what happened? All people stand up. Is that right? So when the president of the school come in, or the president of a company walk in, you were sitting, you stand up and give honor to that person. When the bride walk in with the dad, pam 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 pam, pam 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 pam. What happened to the whole congregation? They all stand up to honor the bride for her wedding. Is that right? Standing up is to show honor and respect to the person. And we are honoring and worshiping the King of all kings. So it's good to stand up to worship the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Standing is biblical. Now look at another one. Psalm 134, verse 2. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord. Lift up our hand is the way to worship God. Why lift up your hand? I learned this from Maverick movie. How many people watch Maverick movie? I know this is that we have a lot of new generation here. Never watch Maverick. Have you watched Maverick? Yes. Maverick movie. When they put a gun up, you know Maverick.
Maverick.
Okay, you call Maverick. I call Maverick. Okay. The same movie. What is the real name of that movie? What is the real name of that movie?
Maverick.
Maverick. Okay, Maverick. Okay. When the guy pull out the gun like this, and the person yield, what happened to the person who yield? Raise up the hand. What does it mean when you raise up your hand? Number one, surrender. Is that right? I'm not fighting you. I surrender to you. Secondly, you can examine that I have no gun in my hand. I have no knife in my hand. You can examine my life. I'm not going to fight you back. So raising up your hand before God means three things. Number one, I surrender to you. Number two, you can look at my hands. I have clean hands. You can examine my heart. You can deal with me. If I'm wrong in front of your eyes, you can correct me right now. You can deal with me. Number three, to show that God is higher than you. You don't worship God like this. Hi, God. How are you? God is higher than you. So raising up your hand, show that I am below you. I'm under you. I submit to you. Look at what the Bible say here. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8 to 10. I want men everywhere to lift up holy hands in prayer without anger or disputing. Okay, all men stand up. Only men. Okay, we're going to pray together. Amen. To bless our family and bless the church. Let's lift up our hand. I will lead you in prayer. Father in heaven, we all men in this church. Pray for our families, for our kids. Pray for this church that you will pour out your blessing upon them. Joy, peace, wisdom, salvation, deliverance, prosperity, victory will belong to your people in this house. We lift up our hand before you right now and have faith in you. In Jesus' mighty name, we believe you answer our prayer and our joy will be complete. Amen. You can be seated. Wow, good practice. Amen. Praise God. You believe that God will bless our family here? Amen. This is not just a show. Really, I really pray for the family in this church. Amen. Let me read a few scripture and then we will continue next time. Psalm 63, verse 4. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. Psalm 141, verse 2. May my prayer be set before you like incense. May the lifting up of my hands be like the evening sacrifice. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 41. Let us lift up our hearts and our hands to God in heaven. 1 Kings 8, 22. Then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in front of the whole assembly of Israel, spread out his hands toward heaven. So lifting up our hands in the church or in the meeting or even at home by ourselves when we pray to God is biblical and is beautiful in the eyes of God. Amen. So surrender. Amen. Amen. I remember when I first went to a church long time ago in America. I moved to the U.S. in 1985. And I went to that church. I saw all the people raise up their hands. I feel very uncomfortable. What is going on here? Because I came from, when I got saved, I was in another kind of church. And it's hard to do that. But eventually I made a decision, okay, I'm going to do it. Because that's what the Bible says. And it's not that difficult. Actually, it sounds difficult, but I can live. Not a big deal. So when you come to church, do it. Amen. Just lift up your hand and praise God. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. So I will continue. Oh, you want me to continue? I will continue next time what the Bible says about how to worship together. How to worship in a specific way. Today we learn about praising. We learn about singing. We learn about kneeling and bowing down. We learn about lifting up our hand to praise God, standing before the presence of God. We also learn that worship is a lifestyle all day long. When you open your eyes, you start to worship. All day long, make God smile and happy. Do everything, whatever you do, do it to the glory of God. And do it as if you do to the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the lifestyle of worship. Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for your word. We want to understand your truth more and more each day. Help this church, Father, to be the church that pleases you all the days of our life, Lord. Not only in this generation, but all those babies and kids that will grow up in this church will love you, fall in love with you, and praise you all the days of their life, Lord. Oh Lord, I bless you. We believe, Lord, that you are the real living God. You're the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We have no other gods. You alone is the God of this church. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know anyone in this room.
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much.